In the Gospel of John, it all sort of starts with the Lazarus thing. Lazarus was dead, and then he wasn't. And all of the critics of Jesus had no idea what to do with that. So the temple establishment hatches a plan. The plan is really, really simple. Wait until Jesus is isolated, hopefully at night. Run him through a mock hearing and trial. Deliver him to the Romans and hope at that point they can force the Romans to hang Jesus on a cross. That's the plan. But they needed something. They needed an asset. They needed an insider to somehow give this whole thing away. Enter Judas Iscariot. Jesus paraded through Jerusalem. People waved palm branches and cried, Hosanna. And now Jesus is back into town for the Passover. And he celebrates the Passover meal with his disciples. They're probably just south of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. It's the residential section where regular people lived. Folks often rented out their top floor during Passover. Jesus and his disciples were there. The event was jagged at best. Judas bolted. Jesus taught. And then he leads the disciples out of the upper room into the darkness. But they're not going home. They head over the Temple Mount, down into the Kidron Valley, up into the Mount of Olives, into an olive grove that Jesus often went to pray. And while Jesus and his disciples were there, they could have seen it unfolding right in front of them. Coming over the Temple Mount was a contingent of soldiers. They were led by Malchus, the chief servant of the high priest, and Judas. They would have had torches blazing. They were all armed. The swords would have been clanking as they came across. Jesus and his disciples would have seen him coming for 20 minutes. They could have easily run and disappeared into the night, but John tells us Jesus knew what was going to go down. And he told the disciples to stay put. When the soldiers finally got to Jesus and his disciples, imagine 200 torches burning, armed soldiers with swords drawn, expecting a confrontation. Jesus says, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said, "I am he." And a wave went out, and it repulsed all of the soldiers, and they fell to the ground. When they got back up and recomposed themselves, Jesus asked again, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I am he." And as they rushed in to arrest Jesus, Peter, the impulsive one, grabs a sword and tries to split open the head of Malchus, the chief servant of the high priest. My guess, Peter really wanted to split open the head of Judas. He was just too far away. Peter's a fisherman, not a soldier. He misses. He just cuts off Malchus's ear. If Peter were a better swordsman, if that sword lands 6 inches in a different direction, we would have never heard of Peter again, because the armed delegation would have run him through on the spot and Peter would have been dead. But he's not. Jesus says, "Let my men go. I'm who you want." And they take Jesus down into the Kidron Valley, up and over the Temple Mount, all the way across town to where the rich people live. And they take him to the house of Annas. Now, Annas was once a high priest, And once you're a high priest, you sort of retain the title. But now Annas is more powerful than a high priest. He's a maker of high priests. In fact, he keeps it all in the family. His five sons had served as high priests, and now Caiaphas was his son-in-law. Annas is a power broker. He's the maker of high priests. They bring Jesus in for a hearing. A couple of problems emerge. Number one, it's nighttime. And according to Jewish law, you can't have a hearing at night. It was set up to prevent miscarriages of justice. If there's a hearing, it has to be during the day, where people can be there and be aware of it. Secondly, if there's a hearing and if there's a charge, you have to have witnesses. So what we have is an illegal hearing. But Annas is willing to break any number of laws to get rid of Jesus of Nazareth, and he's only getting started. So he asks Jesus, "Who are your followers?" And Jesus is thinking, "How about all the guys that were with me when you just arrested me?" He says, "What have you been teaching?" And Jesus has just had enough of it. Jesus said, "I have taught in public. Everything I've said has been completely on out in the open. I marched publicly into the city of Jerusalem. You know who my followers are. And if you want to know what I said, why don't you ask people, what's Jesus really saying? This is an illegal hearing. You have no witnesses to ask." And one of the temple guards slaps Jesus across the face. And Jesus looks at him. And he said, "If you have charges against me, prove them. Otherwise, why are you hitting me?" Well, it wasn't much of a hearing. That one was over before it began. And they transferred Jesus then to the house of the serving high priest, Caiaphas. I'm guessing Caiaphas couldn't have lived 100 yards away from Annas. All the rich aristocratic Sadducee class all kind of lived in that same part of Jerusalem. Jesus is brought there for a formal trial. We don't even know what happened. John does not even give us any information as to what happened. But we know it's the middle of the night, and we know it's creeping into the wee hours of the morning. My guess is that Caiaphas asked him about the same questions as Annas. And shock, shock, Jesus is declared guilty. Of what? That's a little more up in the air. But they had to run the offense. According to Roman law, the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, who lived most of the time up in Caesarea Maritime, up on the Mediterranean coast, up in Galilee, who only came to Jerusalem when he had to, and wouldn't have liked coming to Jerusalem at all, the Roman governor is staying almost certainly in the house, in the palace of Herod. He is required by law to be open for business at 6 a.m. Now, Pilate has a busy day ahead. There are 3 revolutionaries scheduled to hang on crosses that day. 3. And with the Passover coming and the sensibilities of the Jewish people, they're going to have to make quick work of these guys. This isn't going to be hanging out there for 3 days kind of thing. They're going to have to make sure these guys are mostly dead before they stick them on a cross, because they need them to die before dark. 6 a.m, Pontius Pilate's expecting a long day, and his servants inform him that outside is a delegation from the high priests, and they have a prisoner, and Pilate has to be thinking, perfect. He walks out. What will not wait until breakfast? And they said, "We have a prisoner here." Now you need to understand that once the Jewish establishment turned a prisoner over to the Romans, that was a door that swung one way. They had no control over what happened there. Influence, yes. Control, no. This was the part of their plan that could go either way. And what they wanted to do was shove Jesus through that door. Pilate said, "What charge do you have against him?" And they said, "If he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him to you." Pilate has no love for the Jewish people. He's later relieved of his duty well after this story because of his cruelty. Pilate also has no love of Jesus. But my guess is the Jewish establishment was on his nerves worse than Jesus on this particular morning. Well, finally they said Jesus claims to be a king. That's something Pilate has to deal with. So the Jewish establishment will not go into Herod's palace. They will not go in to be around Pilate because he would defile them. Preceding Passover, that had to get on Pilate's nerves as well. I'm not even good enough for these folks to come in and talk to me. They bring a prisoner here and they will not even approach me. Jesus is sent in and Pilate has a conversation with him. Pilate's curious. The Jews normally protected themselves. You need to understand, just 40 years later, they are going to formally revolt against the Romans. They will be smashed. But that revolution is already in the air. And they tend to protect one another, even the worst among them. And Pilate looks at Jesus. He said, "Your own people want you dead. What did you do? Are you a king?" Jesus explains, "Not a king as you understand it. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. I'm coming to do something different than what you could possibly understand." So they have a conversation back and forth. Pilate is having to make a judgment based on it. And finally, at the end of the day, what is Jesus the king of? Jesus says, "Truth." And Pilate says, "What is truth?" Well, one thing Pilate had determined is whatever this man had done to the Jews, it was no threat to the Roman Empire. So Pilate leaves Jesus in the palace. He goes out and talks to the temple delegation. He says, "I find no fault in this man." Now Pilate understands there is a bit of a catch. They have shoved Jesus through the door. A door that swings one way. Now, Pilate is going to try to shove Jesus back through. "You judge him." They said, no, we can't judge him. We want this man put to death, and only you can do that. And Pilate keeps trying to shove him back through. They keep shoving Jesus back. And finally, Pilate has a rather ingenious plan. It's a way for the Jewish establishment to respect his not guilty verdict. And a way to get them to save face. Pilate says, "At the Passover each year, I release a prisoner. So who do you want me to release?" There were three prisoners slated to be executed that day. The worst of them, the one who was scheduled for the middle cross, was named Barabbas. Barabbas is not only a revolutionary, Barabbas is a murderer and a thief. Barabbas is a really bad person. Pilate is sure nobody wants Barabbas back on the street, especially Pilate, because if Barabbas is released, he's just going to have to arrest him all over again. And he's going to have to crucify him all over again. Pilate thinks he's saved face for the Jewish establishment. He's going to get Jesus pushed back through the door. And the delegation cries out, "We want Barabbas. We want Barabbas." And Pilate says, "What do I do with Jesus, your king?" And they said, "Crucify him." Pilate is exasperated. He doesn't want to deal with this. Not today. And they won't take Jesus back. So Pilate comes up with a second plan. He turns Jesus over to the guards inside of his own palace. And he has Jesus scourged understand, Jesus is not guilty of anything. Pilate has said Jesus is not guilty, and he's having Jesus scourged. Scourge is not whipped. A whip is a long leather strap. It cuts you. Jesus is scourged with a cat of nine tails, a handle, nine leather straps, metal sewn into them. You need to understand, a cat of nine tails doesn't cut you, it tears you. It's like a bunch of fishing hooks and somebody wrapping it all the way around you, and it just catches. And when they pull it, it rips your flesh out. Soldiers do what they do. They find an old tattered royal robe. They put it on a bloody, beat up Jesus. They hit him, they slap him. They make a crown of thorns because he is supposedly the king of the Jews. They press it down on his head. And you got to wonder, what's Pilate up to? And it seems really clear to me. He's going to bring Jesus back out in front of the temple establishment. And Jesus is going to be three quarters dead and bleeding and mocked and humiliated. And Pilate's thinking, surely they will have some pity on their own. And surely they will see this man as no threat, because I don't have time to deal with this today. They bring Jesus out. They see him, and there's no pity in any of their hearts. You may be thinking, where's all those people that cried Hosanna? My friends, they're at home. This whole thing has happened after people went to bed, and now it's 6 a.m, and the day is rolling on, and Pilate's entire morning has been tied up with this thing. And now we are almost 6 hours later. It's almost noon. And none of Jesus' followers know what has happened. So Pilate looks at Jesus' accusers. He said, you need to understand, I do not find him guilty. Respect my decision, but they will have none of it. They now say, he said he was the Son of God. Son of God. That is actually problematic. Not theologically, but politically for Pilate. In fact, John says Pilate was afraid. Because if this charge was applied to Jesus and Pilate let him go, Pilate could lose his job. So he brings Jesus back in. You got to remember, Jesus is three quarters dead. And Pilate wants to have another conversation, and Jesus isn't talkative this time. In fact, Pilate now is exasperated with Jesus, who will not cooperate. He says, don't you understand? I have the power to let you go, or I have the power to have you crucified. And Jesus, no doubt having to muster up the energy just to talk, says, you have no power over me except what God gives you. Pilate brings Jesus back out. He tries to give him back. They won't take him. And finally, Pilate goes to a judgment seat, a formal place of judgment. It fascinates me that John does not have Pilate formally condemn Jesus. It's not there. It just says he turns Jesus over. He turns Jesus over to the crucifixion process. Pilate's got to be frustrated. 6 hours of his morning have been chewed up with this particular squabble amongst the Jews, in his opinion. But he has to deal with it. Why does he have to deal with it? Because the Jewish establishment, the temple establishment, started saying and chanting to Pilate, if you let Jesus of Nazareth go, you are no friend of Caesar. Friend of Caesar, another formal title. It was what Caesar gave to the people that Caesar trusted most. The people who found the most favor in the eyes of Tiberius in this case, they were given the title of friend of Caesar. And the establishment said to Pilate, if you let him go, you are no friend of Caesar. Pilate had to know a report is going to go to Rome that I have let a revolutionary go, that I'm not able to do my job, that I can't keep the peace here. Is Pilate forced? Nah, he still could have let Jesus go, but he's certainly coerced. John doesn't really tell us what happens after that. All of a sudden, we're in a different spot. It's going to be north of where Caiaphas and all the rich people lived, and it's going to be just outside of the city walls in those days. It's really not very far that Jesus would have been taken. The site is called Golgotha. It means place of the skull, but we actually know where that is. And as odd as it may seem, I truly believe it's where history says it is. It's where the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is built. It's underneath it. If you go underneath the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, you find that it sits on top of an ancient quarry from the days of the kings. They were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, strengthening the walls, and there was a good quarry site right outside the walls. It makes a ton of sense. You cut out the large stones, you don't have to transport them hardly anywhere at all, and you get a little bit of a buffer between the hill and the wall. But when the quarry had played out, it turned into a graveyard. They didn't bury their dead like we do. They chipped man-made caves into the sides of cliffs. A quarry would provide an almost endless amount of opportunities, and it was a graveyard. Outside the city gates, the Jews consider it to be a place that was unclean. So when the Romans took over Israel, they simply decided this would be a perfect place for crucifixions. It was on a hill, it was on the main road, and there was a graveyard right there. The Romans were nothing if not efficient. Jesus is taken to that spot. You need to understand, Jews were crucified by the Romans all of the time. This is not something that is out of the ordinary, and three being crucified at once isn't out of the ordinary. What's out of the ordinary is the man that was supposed to occupy the middle cross, Barabbas, has been swapped out at the last minute. And Pilate has the charges against Jesus nailed to the top of the cross, as he must do by law. It says, King of the Jews. And he has it written in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, so everybody could read it. The temple establishment pushed back. No. Our only king is Caesar. You need to write, he said he was the king of the Jews. Pilate has way had enough of them by now. And right around noon, Pilate turns away and he walks into infamy. And Jesus of Nazareth is nailed to a cross between two thieves and revolutionaries. And what you're really witnessing is an absolute miscarriage of justice. It was a sham from the start. Jesus hangs on a cross in a scandal of grace.